Yeah, I'm so glad the Slack thing's working out for you guys.
Oh yeah. Yep, it's on my phone, resting comfortably.
Brackets sarcasm.
Yeah. It's been a busy week at Lake Wobegon.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael, that virtual Uper guy. Tonight, there's a new bell buoy on the lake. Joel and his bride visit Maine. And Barty sends the toy belt in for repairs. All that and more on Late Night. Cure! And now, digitally gathering to listen to the new Copper Harbor Bell Buoy.
1, 2, 3, 4. Cowbell.
Here's Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM, show number 213 from the Monadnock region. I didn't say that last week. Nope. In the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And also from the great state of New Hampshire in the Monadnock region, this is Joel.
And from New York's Tug Hill Plateau, this is Barty.
And I know this is a shock, but from the suburbs of beautiful Copper Harbor, in Studio V, finally, and not on a cell phone, it's Michael, the virtual Uper.
Woo! Amazing.
Light a pause.
Woo!
Thank you, Barty. All right, let's get into it and find out what everybody's drinking.
Now everybody's dying, so until our tears are dry, we'll drink,
who
and
does?
Drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
Are you there?
That was interesting.
Yes.
What? Who?
Oh, okay.
And you dropped out.
Who did? I did?
You did, you yes.
Did. I didn't hear. And you guys
didn't. Yeah, neither did we.
Yeah, exactly.
We dropped out. That's why.
You didn't drop out here?
Oh, okay. Well,
that was weird. Did you hear the song theme?
Yeah, but yep. It started out really, really fast and then came back down the normal time at the end. Oh, that was interesting.
That's a Skypey thing.
That's a Skypey thing, yes.
Yeah.
Skypey thing.
Oh, that was one of the things. Well, that's something I can add on to Geek Corner.
Geek Corner. Uh-huh. Geek Corner. Well, while you're adding that.
Go ahead. Somebody talk about what they're drinking.
I'm talking.
About. Okay.
So, yeah, I'm first on the list. That would be me. I'll do it. So tonight I'm enjoying a nice, cool MGD. Interesting, because as you guys indulge me, as I ran down to the Gaslight General store, where they say I can buy Generals, I just have to find out which aisle they're in. I picked up a 12-pack of MGD, which these days is lasting me about 2 weeks. That's how intense things are around here. But the lady behind the counter looked up at me and she said, "You don't look like Dan Fosner." That's his beer of choice.
Ah.
So we're about the same height. Yeah, I'm a couple of years younger than him. We're both on the fire department. I went, "What do you mean? I got my Copper Harbor fire hat on." And she goes, "You're not swearing enough." I said, "Well, you got customers in here. I thought it'd be polite." Anyhow, so MGD is the beer of choice tonight. Especially after the events of the day, which I will get into in the show notes, if I had a Brookside beer, one beer, and I would be sleeping underneath the monitor, which would not be conducive for a conversation on the show tonight.
Yeah,
I am having one of the old faithfuls here. I'm having, with a twist, the Crown Royal Apple. and Coca-Cola, and it's really tasty.
All right, I got nothing. The reason,
there's something wrong about that.
Well, that's because I had one of those giant sippy cups. I had a gin with a little tonic for dinner, in as a the jumbo sippy cup, and I wanted to be awake for the show, so I decided I better go with nothing. Served.
Hello.
Yeah, you were just dropping out again.
Oh, sorry. My internet sucks. What can I say?
Thank you, fair point.
That's funny. I saw a billboard that said GigaWow, TDS Internet.
I know. I pass it every fucking day.
You want to borrow my shotgun to shoot at it?
It's in Wilton.
Yeah, there's another one in Hillsborough, too.
Jeez. Wow. It's on my commute.
Well, I'm not having nothing. I'm having the usual Poland Spring parking lot runoff water.
Now, does the parking lot add taste to that, Barty?
Sure, it certainly does. And it has a nice little rainbow sheen to it.
Woo! Oh, okay.
It's tart, right? Tart.
Yeah.
Tastes like super unleaded.
All right, well, let's get into Days of Our Lives. Can you hear that?
Like sands of the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
There you go. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
That song puts me right out. Okay, well, the only thing that happened last weekend, we were noticing that things were not quite as cold as they should be in the refrigerator. Things were coming out of the refrigerator warm. And we noticed this on a Thursday, a week ago. And my wife calls. We buy all our appliances from a small family business instead of going to the big box shops, because the family business does all the repairs and everything too. And we get to know them over the years. We've been doing it. We've known them for 20 years now. So she calls and goes, Tommy. She goes, yeah. He goes, yeah, the refrigerator, she's not a cold. And he goes, is your freezer working? Yeah, because the freezer's on the bottom. And my wife says, yes, the freezer's working, but the refrigerator seems to be not getting quite cold enough. He goes, I know exactly what it is. But we're booked until they're putting in somebody bought some gigantic $10,000 refrigerator with wood panels and all this stuff, and they were putting that in on Friday. It was like an all-day event. And so he says, and not only that, but he would have to order the part. And so he said, Monday okay? So, yeah, Monday's going to have to do. So I had to turn the beerator into a regular refrigerator for the weekend.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, so no.
I've got warm beer sitting over here because I still haven't brought the beerator back up.
Sacrilege.
Yeah,
sacrilege.
I know. I was tempted. I said, I was coming up. I said, if I get thirsty, I'll just pop a beer. And I said, no, it's all warm.
So, yucky.
Yeah.
That would be so Central European.
But it was, the problem was the refrigerator, and it happens almost on all the refrigerators these days. Of course, they're all run by computers, and the computer board went. So we popped in the new computer board, and everything worked just fine after that. So,
yeah, those refrigerators should not have a setting for medium well.
Yeah, exactly. It refrigerates and bakes.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was my exciting week right now, Michael.
So, yeah, again, this is supposed to be the slow time of year. Mm-hmm. And Monday afternoon, I'm debugging some software. Just talked to the guys at the home office about something. And I don't know, it's about 4 o'clock, and my pager goes off. And from the tone, I could tell it's a fire page. You're like, oh, okay. And I hear from the dispatch at the state police office that they're asking us to do support for the high angle rescue rope team coming up from Calumet for Brockway Mountain, which immediately got my attention. And I'm like, well, let's see here. By the time high angle rescue gets up here from Calumet, we could have climbed down the mountain and back up again. And then our fire chief chimes in and says, you know, by the way, that's actually Eagle Harbor Township territory. You know, we'll just go there for mutual assistance. So, and then I hear the rest of the page, and it's for a dog that had gone over the cliff. And I'm like, oh, geez. Well, all right. That's not your everyday call, but absolutely. We'll head up there. Well, so I get to the fire hall, and one of the EMTs I work with is suiting up in his bunker gear. And the fire chief walks in, and he's really pissed. He goes, yeah, I can't wait to talk to this owner. I said, well, why? He was playing catch with his dog, and he went over the edge. And I'm like, oh, crap. And he said, Friday. Friday? He said, yeah, Friday. So the owner saw his dog go over the 300-foot cliff on Friday.
Really?
And just assumed the dog was dead.
That's bullshit.
Came up Monday to see if they could see the body to recover his, you know, recover his dog, and saw it moving at the bottom of the cliff.
Holy shit.
So this dog was down there for 4 days.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
I'm going to kick that guy's ass.
So, anyhow, Eagle Harbor Township had jurisdiction here, so we did support. But I'm impressed with these. One of the guys that went over the edge of the cliff on the rope has got to be pushing 80. He's in really good shape.
Really?
You know, it's like, you know.
Wow.
Anyhow, yeah, 4 guys went down. One of the park employees from the state park next door is on the fire department there, and he was the one that actually, after it probably took him an hour. Once they went, when they went down 300 feet of rope, got to a point where they could actually kind of go laterally on the cliff and the, you know, on the loose stone.
Right.
Worked their way back to where the dog had gone over, and the dog's just standing there. Just, hey, how you doing? Hey, I got the tennis ball. Bruce is the guy who actually made it to the dog. Yeah, I don't like that sound. Bruce made it to the dog, had a dog treat and a leash with him, and then he yelled for us to throw some water bottles over the side, and he was able to retrieve one of those because the dog was pretty damn thirsty after 4 days.
Oh yeah, no bet.
And by the time, you know, about that time, the rope rescue team was getting close, so we told them to go down an old military road, and they came down that with chainsaws and stuff to open up a path so that those guys didn't have to climb the cliff with the dog.
Right.
Hmm.
And then the fire chief and the assistant fire chief, I think he is, who is 80, climbed back up the cliff.
Just for fun,
amazing,
right?
Guys. Well, they figured somebody had to pull the ropes back up behind them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, I was about a third of the way down, just doing rope safety the whole time. But that's fine. It was a pleasant evening. It had a good outcome. I never actually had a chance to talk to the dog owner of the dog, but I don't understand the delay from Friday to Monday. But
I'm with you.
Anyhow, it all appears to have a happy ending. The dog needs to go. Hopefully, has gone to the vet and had its kidneys checked out. Because that would be the number one danger after 4 days.
Right.
It's kidney damage after now. I don't know if the dog, because there's a creek probably a half mile away, which I'm sure the dog could hear and smell, but that dog was staying right where it went down, waiting for its owner.
Wow.
Ain't going
that asshole wasn't checking on him.
He did eventually come back, but yeah.
Yeah, but still.
Weird scene. Jeez. So that was my Monday evening. Over to you, Barry.
Oh, well, okay. This is actually a slap the forehead moment, you know. Mm-hmm. as you all know, and thus the kind of the name of the show kind of comes from this, I am a ham, an amateur radio person, and I have a Well, you people that are hams will understand what I'm saying. I have a Yaesu FT8800R mobile rig, which is 2 meter 440 with dual receivers. And and it's nice because it's a it's basically for it's like a big CB for people that don't know. It has a head, which is the thing with all the dials and the knobs and stuff. It separates from the main body, so you can put the main body somewhere else because it's fairly big. And you can just bring the head up and mount it somewhere on the front of the, you know, on your dashboard or something. Well, I've had this thing for years, like as long as I've had the car, so 11 years. And I've tried various ways to mount this. Most of the time it would just sit on the seat next to me, and I've never liked that. And for a long time it sat on the floor. Joel will know because he always had to watch out and not step on it. And,
yes, sir.
So finally I said, I got to do something. I don't want to drill holes. I don't like drilling holes in dashboards and stuff. And, so I said, well, let me get some Velcro and I'll mount it on top of the, display, you know, my year Prius had a video display. It's touch, all the controls are there. And I said, I'll put it there. I really don't want to do that because A, it's in the sunlight all the time, and B, it's very obvious if, you know, if you're walking by the car, and I didn't want it to be a target. That's why I was saying, well, Velcro, that way I could, you know, pull it off and stick it on the floor again. And I'm looking at it, I said, I really don't want to do that. So I'm pulled up. I'm in the driveway at home. I just got home from work, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking. I said, "Geez, is there anything else I can do?" I don't know. So, meanwhile, as my usual routine, I pop my phone out of its cradle, which is one of those ones that goes into a drink cup cradle, and then this arm comes up, and it's got a squeezy thing that squeezes around the phone, and I pop it out. And I stop and I look at the thing. And then I take it and I turn it 90 degrees. I get my FT8800, put it in there, squeeze it together, and slapped my forehead.
Oh.
I said, that works perfectly. And so then I said, okay, well, and look, I've got this cup holder, and then there's one right in front of it that I don't really use for anything. So I went on Amazon and I bought another one, and with a slightly longer arm to it. So now I'm all set up in the Prius. It's the radio's right there, and my phone's right underneath it. In its usual spot, and everything worked out great. And I'm like, "Damn, 11 years! Why haven't I thought?" And I've had the phone holder for almost all amount of time too. Yeah. It just never dawned on me. Hey, this thing does funny. Rotate.
at least it came to you.
Eventually.
You just need to learn to rotate more.
Sit and rotate.
I just thought it was an interesting. So now I've got it on and I'm listening to the Temple Mountain repeater back and forth to work and hear absolutely nothing. Nobody seems to be using repeaters anymore. But anyway.
Well, at least it's mounted.
It is. And it's easy to take it off, too, if I don't want to leave it there. Ooh. If I'm in a sketchy neighborhood or something, I want to hide it. Like, stick it under the seat or something.
You go to sketchy neighborhoods?
No.
I was going to say the same thing.
No.
No. I haven't been up to your house in a while. Oh!
That's okay. Your local car won't make it out of the damn driveway.
Now, around here now, you got to be careful because I'm sure everybody's heard about our heroin problem up here in New Hampshire. Everybody seems to be, all of a sudden, you know, 4 out of 5 people have a heroin problem in New Hampshire, at least if you listen to the news. So, and
that's becoming all over. I mean, they're talking about the same kind of thing here. Yeah. After I heard the political QRM episode where Anne-Marie was talking about that, it was like, it's like the very next day I heard the local station talking about it. It's like, God damn, they must be listening to political QRM. Because I hadn't heard much about it locally until I heard that podcast. And then now the local news is talking about it. It's like, what the hell?
And what is it with the word opioid suddenly? I mean, we've always had, you know, opium, heroin problem. I mean, not like it is now. But all of a sudden, it seems like the term opioid has become a meme. And you hear it everywhere now. Opioid, opioid, opioid. I'm sure, you know, the word existed trendy long ago. But it's like, nobody ever used that word before. Now, all of a sudden, it's like you hear it every day. I don't know. That's up there with hashtag, which I can't stand. I want to start a new movement to turn it back to a pound sign.
Pound sign.
That's what it is. It's a pound symbol.
Yes, it's a pound sign. It's not a hashtag. There is no symbol in any language that is called hashtag. It's a pound sign. And when it first came out, you used to say pound sign this, pound sign that. And then All of a sudden people are calling it hashtag. It's like,
just we ought to start up a thing with t-shirts that say my pound sign smashes your hashtag.
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. Let's bring pound sign back. So, anyway, okay, Joel?
Oh, well, I haven't had anything actually as exciting as that.
What, pound signs?
Yes, exactly. Or radio mounting.
Oh, radio mounting.
My
I loved about things my we've radio.
Had going on. I mean, it's been fun, but it's consisted a lot of good food and a lot of great places.
Mm-hmm.
Last weekend, frequented and took the my daughter, as Michael and I had spoken about, picking kids up from college and for the summer and so on and so forth, and thought, you know what would be nice? A nice breakfast down at the Peterborough Diner, which is looks like the classic train car. They had the little add-on and then another little add-on. And excellent, excellent food. Huge breakfasts for what seems to be like pennies. And so went down there, took kids there. And sure enough, I say kids, but you know, young adults. And had a really nice time. Just, you know, chill out and had a good breakfast and, you know, checking out the little diner, and they look around because it's got that same, like Barty was saying at the pre-show, you know, that 50s feel, because I think this time it was decorated was in the 50s. But and it's nice. It's nice. It's really cool. It's Americana to a T, if you will. And then so that was pretty much last weekend. And aside from, well, I might as well jump into the other one, which was Mother's Day, because that was the others also. Part of that weekend where my beautiful bride and I went up to York Beach, Maine to the Stage Neck Inn for Mother's Day dinner. And that was just really, really nice. Really nice indeed.
Wow.
You know, by the waterside and the waves crashing into the shoreline. And, you know, you're just sitting there with a candlelit dinner. And it was nice. It was really nice.
That's pretty country up there.
Big
Very
time.
Pretty. Nice.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. And, And Peterborough, many of our listeners may have actually seen Peterborough because it is also famous for politicians during primary season to go and visit the Peterborough Diner.
So yes.
It often makes newspapers and news stories because of their visits there. So, Michael.
Yeah. The boys are back in town. Actually, the boy is back in town. It's not the one we were expecting.
Hey, boys!
Hey, boy! Or as I say, the cowbell's back in town.
Cowbell.
We have a new and improved. That's dangerous right there.
Yes.
Bell buoy in town. It's a regular part of culture and history up here when the buoy tender, the Coast Guard cutter Alder, comes in the fall to pick up the buoy and arrives in the spring to drop it off. And, you know, the sound of the harbor arrives and goes back to the resounding sustain of the bell buoy. And everybody was excited. They saw it out there, you know, saw the cutter out there putting the buoy back in the water. And Chris and I shortly afterwards went out for our evening walk. And as we're walking along the lakeshore, Chris and I stop and listen. And we look at each other. And the first thing we notice is it's much quieter than the old one. I mean, the old bell buoy, you could hear clearly at our house.
Yeah.
It's this resounding note. Very soothing.
Yes.
And we're up at the lakeshore and we hear clank. Clank, clank. Ding, clank.
You gotta have more cowbell.
Yeah. And Chris and I look at each other and went, And then as it got darker out, anyway, clank, flash, flash. And I'm like, no, it's lit now, too. It's synchronized to flash twice, two or three times. I think it's, maybe it is three times. But it detects the flash from the lighthouse, and then it flashes itself.
Really?
I suppose from a navigational standpoint, it's so that if you're not lined up with the range lights coming into the harbor, you can see the bell buoy, because the bell buoy is set up in line with the range lights.
Oh, okay.
But there have been numerous calls back and forth between harbor residents and the ferry service here saying, hey, you've just taken away a, you know, classic part of the culture of this town, what people come up here for vacation. And
yeah,
we're talking government, Coast Guard. And okay. No.
So is the bell actually a bell or is it a loudspeaker?
It's a bell. But okay. It's a tinny bell built by the lowest bidder.
Yeah.
Town has
evil
attempted,
corp.
Yeah, well, the town has attempted to purchase the old one that's going out for refurbishment, but the Coast Guard cutter wouldn't hear nothing of that either. So, to check to see if Dr. Dave is listening, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's a good one.
One of his favorite phrases.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we're not happy about it. The fight's not over, but...
Yeah,
Coast Guard actually you can talk to up here, but I'm not seeing the situation changing in our favor any soon.
Probably not. Yeah, that's one of those things because the new one has lights and everything, so it's safer.
Probably also has radio transmitter.
Yeah, probably.
Now, if it only didn't sound like a cowbell, and I'm not kidding about that either. Or some people in town say it sounds more like a car door slamming.
Jeez, I remember hearing that on the podcast that shall not be named, and I thought,
yeah, exactly,
a car door slamming. And so, the first time I was outside, I opened up the car door and I went chunk. Oh, sorry, it sounds like that.
Yeah, the light does a really nice job of screwing up any photography of Northern Lights from the Copper Harbor, from the lighthouse over now too.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have to find another place to set up the tripod.
Oh wow. Yeah. Speaking of Northern Lights, they've had the sun has been quite active for the past couple of weeks. Have they been visible at your neck of the woods?
Oh yeah. Wow. Oh yeah. Yeah, we have a regular alert group on Facebook now so that the residents in town can tell each other.
Oh wow.
And I generally give them a heads up when I see that the conditions are favorable, but yeah, I can't. I've been putting in a lot of late hours here at the office last couple of weeks, and you know my front door opens right up to the northern sky or Lake Superior, and I open up the door after a stressful day, and lights from horizon to horizon. Yeah, okay, nice. I'll stop and just take this in for a bit.
All right.
I keep hoping here when it starts dipping down pretty far because I look at the space weather map for the aurora.
Yeah.
And whenever I see it getting close, I always go outside and look, and it's like, nothing.
Back up here.
I know.
And there is a fix for that silly three flashing light, being a nuisance. It's called dope the scope. That light will exist no longer.
You give any ideas?
Oh no, I'm sure they've already been thinking about it.
All right. Well, Joel,
Yeah, let's see here. I mean, I already touched on the going up to Maine, which was absolutely fantastic. But the one thing my beautiful bride and I did today, just on the spur of the moment, is, well, actually it wasn't so much the spur of the moment as it was get up from bed in the morning, shuffle on out to the kitchen, look at the coffee maker, begin said process, look and check, damn, we've got no creamer. Let's go out for breakfast. I don't have any coffee creamer.
Well, wait a minute. You got goats now. Can you milk the goats?
No, you can't. Not unless they've actually had a kid.
Oh, okay.
And so, not to mention, I don't think goats actually produce French vanilla non-dairy coffee creamer.
Well, definitely not non-dairy.
Certainly not French vanilla either. So... So I said, hey, let's go out for breakfast. And she's like, okay. And I've driven by the place a bunch of times. I've seen the parking lot chock full every time, but have never stopped in. And that's the Hillsboro Diner, because you guys know I love going to diners. I do. I mean, I've been to plenty of fancy foo-foo joints and all that. And then, I mean, Barry and I paid $100 for Gristle and in Toledo and.
We went to a diner on the way to MMPR last year.
Yes, we did, too, and that was damn good breakfast.
Yeah, and that was featured on Chronicle here, that diner.
It was. Mm-hmm. And because that's when we were trying to figure out, why can't we get cell signal? Sitting in there, it's like, I got no cell service. Oh, my God, I'm disconnected. But, so we went to the Hillsboro Diner. What an awesome place. Again, now this place has been there since 1944.
Really?
That diner's been there, and I've been added on and to on both ends, so it has dining rooms as well, but the original part is the train car with the bar, with the chrome, with the stools, the works. Stainless steel everywhere. It's awesome food. They had the specials up, so I looked at the special, like, wow, homemade Salisbury steak with mushroom and onion gravy. And I'm like, ooh, but I wanted breakfast. And then I said, and I look at they call it the 22s, which is, the two eggs, two sausage, bacon, two pancakes or French toast.
Yep.
And I'm like, but I want breakfast, too. And I looked at Debbie and said, what are you thinking about, dear? She says, I don't know. And one of the owners, Vicky, she says, we've got one Salisbury steak left. They've been selling like crazy this morning because it was about the afternoon, about coming up on lunchtime. And I said, they got one left. And I said, well, here's a deal. She says, I'd like to try the Salisbury steak, but I'm thinking about breakfast, too. I said, well, how about you get the Salisbury steak? I'll get breakfast, and then I'll eat off of your plate, too. So now I get both. So actually, that's what we ended up getting. She got the Salisbury steak, which I still have a little bit in the fridge, which I will consume after the show. And... the big spread breakfast and fantastic. I mean, tons. We're talking huge portions of food here. Absolutely everything homemade, totally delicious. And with four or five cups of coffee, and I mean a lot of food. And I got the check. I said, there's gotta be something wrong with this because this isn't enough money.
No, diners are usually good price. A lot of food for a little money. There we go.
The freaking Salisbury, homemade Salisbury steak, with the peppers, red and green peppers, mushrooms, the fresh garlic in it, the onion, It literally had to be a pound by itself. It was actually over a pound, probably closer to a pound and a half. Mm-hmm. And you're like, of Salisbury steak and then the potatoes and then the sides and this and that. And I'm like, wow, for $24, all this food. For $24, I'm like, wow, I'm definitely going to become a regular.
Where exactly is that? Is that in downtown Hillsboro?
Right off of Main Street. So if you shoot up Main Street through Hillsboro, past Osram, Sylvania, depends upon which way you're coming from.
Yeah.
Past Osram, Sylvania, drive through town, through downtown, you'll pass a couple of auto parts places, you'll pass Cumbie's. It'll be on the right-hand side, just up from the Agway.
Okay. Yes, okay. Okay.
And it's not like super pristine exterior. No, it looks like a diner from the outside.
Yeah. I got it in my head. Because we used to go that way before they put the Route 9 bypass around Hillsborough. That was the way you went up to Concord.
Yep.
Yeah. You used to go through downtown Hillsborough all the time, and I just wasn't sure where it was on the route, but yeah, you painted it perfectly.
Yeah, right up from the Agway.
Yep.
And so if you're ever in the it's not the Monadnock region in Hillsborough County, in the town of Hillsborough.
Yeah, stop by the kind of.
I'm north of the mountains though. That's I'm in the mountains, but it's.
It's a region, so you know you can be north of the mountains, and I'm south of the mountains, so you know. But we're still in the same region.
We both all still live in mountains. That's one of those funny things. Somebody at work asked me about that, and I know I've mentioned it before, so I'll be brief. But I said, "Yeah," I said, "How long does it take you? You know, where do you actually live?" And blah blah blah. And I said, "Well, I am." Depending upon which way I want to go, 90 miles from here, north and west. And I said, where I live, I said, if you look at a map and you look at the city capital Concord, I said, just go left on the map and you'll hit my town. They said, wow, you're that far up? I'm like, yep, in the mountains, and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah,
nice out through there.
You're really in central part of New Hampshire because – that's the reason why Concord's there, because it's centrally located, so all the representatives it was about the same distance for everybody.
As I had said, from my driveway, I can hit Concord in 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. You're not far from there at all.
You can hit Keene in 28.
Concord's not a bad little city either.
No.
No.
They got a lot of good restaurants and stuff downtown.
Yeah, they do.
Well, it's exploded since I used to live in the area. I mean, they got like shopping centers and malls all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
That's on the other side of the highway. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, you
stuff.
Go up in the Heights. Yeah. Or what we used to call the Heights.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they call it now.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I. It's just, great place. Mm-hmm. Hillsborough Diner, if you're in the area, I recommend it highly. Stop on in. You won't be disappointed.
And Michael, you're next.
Okay. So, let's see here. A couple weeks ago, I finally got back into my running format. And I was a little more active this winter than normal, but I hadn't run yet. And as you guys know, lots going on around here. And I finally just got to the point where I had done a conference call with my boss. I said, pretty stressed, not about work, just, I really need to go clear my head. And he goes, hey, go put on your running shoes and it's a beautiful day out, just go. It's nice to have a company just tell you to do that, you know? And I did. My first run of the year, I think it was about 7 miles. Just taking my time and just went. And it's trail running. I've sent some pictures of that in the past. And I take my time and I enjoy it and wasn't burning up the world. I think I did like a 10.5 minute kilometer for that run. But it felt really, really good. So started doing some, did 7 to 8 mile runs. And one of my friends here in town said, hey, that's well within the range of Keweenaw Path coming up in a couple of weeks. And I thought, it's an event I've always wanted to take participate in, but I was always normally working a shift at the ambulance service or.
Uh-oh. Hello?
Keweenaw Path is an event up here that. Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. It went quiet for a minute.
Oh, crap. Did you miss anything?
I don't think so. It was only for a second or so.
Wow. All right. Anyhow, Keweenaw Path is a fundraiser up here. This is the 14th year they've done it. Where they're raising money for women and children shelter. Unfortunately, something that that has to exist almost everywhere. And as a medic, that is a subject that definitely strikes home with me. I can't tell you how much I dread going to domestic disturbance calls. Just one is too many. Period. Mm-hmm. There's a few things I dislike going to more than that, but that's definitely on the list. So any service up here that helps, you know, the families involved has my full support. So I changed my training after decades of running on the road and beating myself up from running on the road. I finally realized that trail running was a whole lot better for me. But this event is a road run, so. I went out and measured it, and it was just under 9 miles, and been planning for it. Now, I am generally an evening runner or a late afternoon runner, and the hotter the better is good for me. So what are the conditions today? Well, I said, we're running the road, and it started snowing last night. And it kept snowing. It's not really sticking here. It's still snowing, actually. The high for today was 34 here in the harbor, but I don't think it ever got that warm because it never stopped. Further down towards Calumet, Red Jacket and stuff, there's like an inch or two on the ground. But so it's blowing 20, 30 miles an hour. It's 31 degrees, and it's just dumping snow off Lake Superior. That's how we started the run. They're only from the event has walkers. They walked from the west entrance to Brockway Mountain. Mm-hmm. They walked up over Brockway Mountain and down the east side into Copper Harbor. So that's a 10-mile walk for them. There's a group of bicyclists that rode from Houghton. So it's about a 57-mile ride for them.
Wow.
That's a good length.
Yeah, we did that. And it's terrain too. I mean, it's not a flat ride at all.
Oh.
and then we as the runners, and the wonderful weather conditions, there were four runners, and then an entire roller derby group. the Keweenaw Roller Girls.
Really?
They started like half an hour later than we did, so you know they didn't run us over right off the bat. But the runners, I warned them right off the bat. I said, hey, I'm an old guy. I know I can run this route. I'm not going to be breaking any records. They wouldn't leave me. They just took off and they turned around and came back and ran with me for a while. And I said, "Yeah, hey, I don't want to hold you back."
Yeah.
And they took off. And then after a little while, when what I would consider the lead runner came back. She's a marathon runner. And she goes, "Nope, I'm going to just kind of hang back here and run with you." And she goes, "You can walk anytime you want." I said, "Oh, I don't need the walk. I just, I said, you know, I'm a trail runner and I don't want to tear my back up or my knees up." And I didn't tell her that my back hurt from, I did slip going down the mountain one point, when we were going on the rope rescue Monday night. And, I'd stopped myself in time, but you know, the sudden stop can cause some really nasty pulls in your back, which I did.
Yeah.
So ibuprofen was my friend today because I can get by with back pain trail running because, again, every step is different. But on the road is pound, 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 pound. Yeah. So I wasn't looking forward to that. But, yeah, she ran with me the entire way in. And as we got to Copper Harbor, we arrived as the runners. I never got more than maybe a couple minutes behind the lead group. Yeah. They were generally in sight the whole time. So I wasn't terribly out of the running there. It wasn't a race anyhow. We were just there to raise money. And just as we got to Copper Harbor, the roller derby girls showed up. So it was quite the entrance.
That's cool.
And my brothers in the fire department were there in the engine blowing the horn and just supporting the group. So
So
we had a great feast at the end. The Brickside Brewery provided beverage, I'll show say. I suppose I should tread lightly there. You know, beverages sometimes are provided at fundraiser. Went to at the end there.
Oh, okay.
And and the fish market down by Hancock provided fried white fish, and
nice.
It was. And they had live music, and I hung out there for maybe an hour while waiting for Chris and Mark to show back up, and then I went back to the house, got cleaned up, and took a long nap, which is part of why I was running late here tonight. But so. Shaggy dog story, but that's been the day. I've been really, really happy to participate in this. And I cut almost another full minute per kilometer off my time today.
Nice.
Of course, that's on the road. You know, I'm not dodging rocks every step. Yeah. But still, that was a pretty fast pace for me, for this old guy.
Yeah. Very good.
Wow.
Well, Michael, you might as well keep on going.
No, all right. Well, my original plan was to do this, get through the dinner and everything, and come back and start cutting wood for Mark for tonight, because he's got friends that have come over. And especially the last year, he has friends come over all the time, go up to the harbor, but the last year, they come out and they like to have campfires. And off season, it's not a problem. You know, I live next to a state park. Mm-hmm. Big, you know, area campground right next to us. So they just walk down the path from the house, and it's 200 feet over to the nearest campsite. And I just, you know, let the park ranger know that the boys are be having a campfire. And they normally even drag some, you know, dead wood and stuff over if they have anything handy for them. But demands, it's been a mild winter by our standards, and the demand for the campsites started early, and they opened the park last week.
Wow.
For camping, which is early up here. So they basically said, yeah, no problem. You know, there's still plenty of open sites. Why don't you just, you know, have them pick a site when they want to set up their campfire and everything's good. You know, and before that, my neighbor up front, Bob, no, the other Bob, they've got a real nice fire pit. But it's right across from my other neighbor, Steve, and they've got two young kids. And although my son and his friends are quiet, you know, they don't need a disturbance outside of their home, you know, across the driveway there with the campfire. So basically everybody doesn't use that fire pit anymore, although it's a really nice fire pit. Hmm. So I thought, well, what am I going to do? And then it's kind of like your Yaesu moment.
Mm-hmm.
Slapped my head in, you know, on the forehead and went, gee, I have 3 acres of woods here. Wherever could I set up a campfire site for the guys? So, I walked the property a bit, and then I asked Mrs. Virtual Youper for her opinion, and then we actually went back behind the area where we park, which is almost directly in line between our house and the state park as you mm-hmm. head west. And what is this? Okay, one of the parents is calling for... assuming my wife is going to get that. Yes. So I looked at the woods and I said, hey, there's actually a nice clearing here, kind of natural clearing that if I, you know, rake out really good and put a fire pit here. And sure enough, that's what we did. We made a clearing this week, and it's just close enough. It's far enough from the house that they're in the woods. It's mm-hmm. close enough that with the combined lengths of garden hose I've got a charged line right there at the fire pit, you know, being the good fireman that I am.
Yeah. Yep.
And since they are teenagers, it is also within Wi-Fi range of the house. So they can have and they're smart ones too.
Perfect.
The only thing I didn't have time to do, and I thought I was going to do right after the event today, was cut some wood. Well, I cut that way too close, and I made you guys late because I was out there with the chainsaw going for a bit. But
how's that again? Nice.
There we go. Another drop in.
Yeah.
I'll isolate that later.
I cut up two. I probably could duplicate that pretty good for you. I cut. So I cut up a couple trees for him. And ones that have been down for about a year. We have no shortage of firewood on the property here. So they set that all up. They got it all ready to go. But again, with the fundraiser in town, there's lots of live music in town for free tonight. So the boys all got in the vehicle just before the start of the show, and off they went to the Mariner North to go watch some live music. And they haven't come back yet, so they must be enjoying it.
Cool. That's awesome.
So is the campfire afterwards, or they already have the campfire?
No, that'll be afterwards.
Okay. Yeah.
We have sharp sticks and numerous bags of marshmallows ready to go.
There you go.
Gourmet.
Yeah. Around here, it's been so dry and everything that if you go outside and click a lighter, the fire police are there.
Two days ago, that was the case here. There was an absolute fire ban until Thursday morning. The skies opened up and dumped. And I have the DNR fire permit site bookmarked on my computer, and it basically said after 6 o'clock last night they were going to allow open fires again. Okay. And after the snow all night and snow today, they're like, yeah, just
No problem.
Torch it, guys. You're good.
We got some rain this week, really. Too, so it's not quite as bad as it was. But the other problem here is none of the foliage is at, well, it's just coming out now. And so.
And the damn black flies.
Oh, well, the. Jesus.
Yeah. Those guys always show up.
Man, early. I deed it up today. I deed it up. And usually if I'm riding the mower, yeah, riding the JD. Usually it causes enough breeze and because I'm moving that they don't bother you, right? Today, yeah. I had deeded up my arms, my legs, I sprayed it on my clothes. I even had the JD hat Joel gave me on and those buggers were following me around in a swarm on the tractor and
yeah.
Just, you know, hell with deet, I'm drilling in.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, they were wicked bad today. So, and it's supposed to get cold tonight, so hopefully a bunch of them will die.
Die flies.
Black flies, die. All right, Joel, you're next.
All right, well, let's see here. I mean, nothing earth-shattering. Went ahead and got a call from Dr. Kenny, who said, hey, because you guys... Like antiques and stuff and antique furniture. I'm like, yeah, you know, the real wood, the, mm-hmm. you know, beefy, nice looking antique furniture. And he said, hey, I had this thing sitting around, he said, in storage. He said, and I got it in the back of my truck and I don't know. He says, take a look, see if you want it. Because I'm like, oh, well, what is it? He goes, I don't know, go look. I'm like, all right, whatever. So,
yeah.
Got over, looked at the back of his truck, and here sitting in the back is an antique dresser made of what I'm thinking is probably, God, it's got to be poplar?
Yeah, probably.
And it's
that's a popular wood, poplar.
Poplar. Poplar is popular.
Why do I bother?
Because you love us and you know that this is going to entertain you.
So it's an antique dressing table. And so it's got like a recessed area, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, ah, that's pretty nice. I said, but you know, it's here today, gone tomorrow. Don't mean shit to me. but it does to the missus. So
yes.
Debbie went and took a look. She's like, oh, that's beautiful. And I'm like, yeah, it needs a little refinish work, like a coat of pledge or something on it. I don't know. She goes, I like it. So I shot him back a text and said, yeah, I said, the missus wants it. What do you want for it? He goes, I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet. Blah, blah, blah. And he goes, he says, I don't want it at all. She goes, well, we got to give want anything for it. He goes, Debbie said, well, I said, he said, we can have it. We can just grab it, you know, and then refinish it and so on and so forth. She's like, well, I got to give him something. I'm like, well, what? And he happens to really, really appreciate fresh free-range eggs, Marty.
Fuck you, Joel.
So,
right up your ass, Joel.
And the girls are laying some monstrously huge eggs now. I guess they're very happy, plus all the bugs to eat. So that said, she said, yeah, she said, we'll get them 2 dozen eggs.
Uh-oh. Hello?
Hello?
2 dozen eggs, dude? He's like, yeah, I'm right here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
You guys, hello? You cut out a little bit. You're back. Oh.
Yeah. Everybody cut out over here.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, it was, I texted him back. I said, want a couple dozen eggs? He's like, he starts laughing out loud, you know, through via text. He says, absolutely. I said, cool, trade, done deal. 2 dozen eggs for antique furniture. Just now sitting in the house and looking at it right now. And I will say this much. I don't know if it's made of poplar or if it's made out of kryptonite, because this son of a bitch weighs a freaking metric ton.
Might be.
When I tried to get it in here.
Might be.
But it's here.
Might be maple.
Oh, dude. Maybe. I mean, this, it's Jesus Christ. This thing was, I mean, it's good size, but.
Yeah.
Trying to move it, I thought, okay, well, there's one of my nuts just fell into my boot.
Yeah. You know, you were talking about your chickens, and, you know, you talked about the goats before. You know what you're missing, Joel?
There.
Yeah, just saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
I used to call them my $1,000 lawn ornament. And every time I just pulled up towards the house, there's my $1,000 lawn ornaments walking around, and they cost me about $1,000 each a month.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not cheap.
Either that or get a donkey. They can complain about your ass being out in the yard.
Yeah, I got to get that, man. I still haven't had a chance to get all the things but migrated over.
You want a donkey?
That's all I got. Yeah, you know, that was.
We should all chip in and buy Barry a donkey, so he can complain about his ass all the time.
Yeah.
Actually, I almost had my wife talking to let me get a few chickens one time, but she had had a little bit too much wine, and when she sobered up, she says, "Fuck you, man! You're not getting any damn chickens, and quit talking to Joel."
Yeah, really.
All right.
Well, I got close.
Very close. We'll work on it for you.
Maybe I'll bring you a chicken when I see you up in MMPR.
How could you see that thing flapping all around the back of the Jeep all the way home?
Give them a couple, a male and a female, you know? So,
excuse me, sir, are you bringing anything into the country? Flap. No.
Yeah, really. Well, these are Canadian. They're they're actually from New Hampshire.
Yeah, exactly.
Way of Hamilton.
Actually, it's usually, are you bringing any fruits or vegetables in? Nope, but I got a half a bunch of chickens in the back of this Prius.
Oh, my. All right. Let's get on to breaking news, or broken news, excuse me, broken news. And now, live from the QRM newsroom, here is Broken News with your anchor, Thickly Settled Sports. What was your name, Joel?
I don't remember. Anyway, you know, I hate sports.
All right, here's the news, the broken news. It was breaking at one time, and that was a couple of weeks ago, so now it's just broken. And this is the way, this we give you the news the way you like it. We got one story. And the only reason we got one story, I'm sure a couple people will have something to say about it, but I this story gets me for one reason only, and it's a semantic thing. The headline is Obama is going to take a historic trip to Hiroshima, Japan. Okay. What gets me is, doesn't historic mean it already happened? It's in the past? So how can you take a historic trip if it hasn't taken place yet? You're taking a trip. It could become a historic trip. Historic is one of those words. You don't know whether you use a or an in front of it. But you can't say you're going on a historic trip. It hasn't happened yet. Okay, that's the thing that bugs me.
Well, I think they're calling it that because it's the first sitting president to actually visit Hiroshima.
But he hasn't done it yet. So it's not historic until he does it.
Well, that's true, because something could happen where it might not occur.
Right, it could be a quite boring trip.
She probably already is. I'm bored with it.
Yeah, well, he's already said that he will not apologize.
That's the first time.
Yeah, exactly. He's apologized for things that he doesn't even have to apologize for.
Yeah.
I mean, people look at him the wrong way and he says, I apologize.
Yeah. You'd think he was Canadian or something. Ooh. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I'm sorry.
Hey, just remember, I'm French-Canadian, okay? And I don't apologize for it.
Oh, you should.
Ouch.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's getting brutal.
All right, we definitely need to move on.
All right, that's it. That's the broken news this week, unless anybody else has any breaking broken news.
No, that's definitely broken.
Depending upon, I do have one thing.
Okay.
Which I completely and totally don't agree with, but depending upon how I identify, I guess I could take a leak in the ladies' room.
No, you have to wear a dress to do that. If you think you're a woman, you could go in a ladies' room and whip out your member and say, "Hey, I'm just relieving myself like any other good girl in a dress would."
You know what? I when I was hearing the stories about this on the news, I really didn't. You know, at the very, very first, I didn't put a lot of thought into it. And then, you know, you start thinking about all, you know, hearing the stories about all these pervos that now they're saying, oh, well, if they identify as a woman, then they should be allowed to go into the ladies' room. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, what about our wives, our daughters, you know, our nieces? And, you know, and the one place, and it really, it kind
of. Uh-oh. You there? Oh, of course. Hello? Anybody there? I think we've just lost. When Joel was really starting to get on a roll, Skype.
You know, you're going to the bathroom. We're human. That's what you do. These pervos went in and tried to essentially accost and rape an 8-year-old girl in the ladies' room. Because they identified as women, and I'm saying to myself, I so fundamentally don't agree with this.
So, you know, I guess it's going to come down to that you can't label restrooms as male or female anymore. Right. You're going to have to start labeling them as penis or vagina.
And you have to have an inspection. I don't know. It's much to do. You know what irritates me more about this is the fact that now the federal government is coming in to North Carolina and saying, well, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And if you don't, we're not giving you any federal funding. And what irritates me about that is federal funding. You mean the money? Uh-oh, we just lost the connection. Hang on. Boy, Skype is really bad tonight. Let's see. Can I hook up with these guys again? Let me get the history. Oh, there's Barty. Hi, Barty. I think I have to call the whole group.
All right, I'll hang up.
Okay. Oh, jeez. How many people are here?
Hey.
Oh, there's Barty. Hello. Okay.
Yeah. Hello. Apparently. Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, Skype doesn't agree with my my thoughts about disagreeing with the bathroom law.
The bathroom wall didn't even make it because you it cut out in the middle of what you were saying, and then it dropped out totally when I was making a comment.
So they don't agree with it.
I guess not. I think, you know, obviously.
Any idea what the last thing recorded was?
Well, I know I was getting into the fact that what bothers me is the federal government saying, North Carolina, you have to do this or we're not giving you any federal funding. And it's like, oh, federal funding. You mean that money you get from us when you collect our taxes?
Yes.
You know, I would say, if I were in North Carolina, I'd say, fine, we'll stop paying our taxes.
Right. Exactly.
Well, it's the same thing that Obama went and required all schools nationwide.
That fucked up.
You know, and Texas said, well, if you're going to deny us federal funds, fine. We don't need your fucking funds.
Yeah.
You know, they just kind of like thumbed their noses and gave them the middle finger and said, well, cool, you keep your money. Yeah, we'll keep our freedom.
This gets down to a point where it's like, okay, why do we have states to begin with then? You know, right. Whether you agree with what the state's doing or disagree, you know, when the federal government can come in and just basically tell the state...
Skype's trying to cut you out again.
Of course they are. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Okay. Yeah.
When well, the, you know,
when the federal government can come in and just wipe out any state law at once, because it feels like it can, then why have states? Let's just be one big country then, you know? One big dictatorship.
Man, oh, like you know the EU.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. The stories that you're hearing in the news, I don't know if like, you guys still hear me?
Yeah, I
mean, there's been Hurry up, talk fast before they cut you off.
Yeah, well, then shut up and let me talk. There's been multiple stories where women have almost been raped in ladies' rooms since this bullshit started. I mean, it's less than, what, a couple of weeks old? And there's every day you're hearing about it in the news. Wake the fuck up, people. All right, you're giving keys to perverts, and it's showing its true colors already. Whether or not your heart's in it for the good of this one, the good of that one, whatever, I don't fucking care. But you're not going to put somebody in harm's way when they're supposed to be safe, being able to go to the bathroom. And there's no men that are going to be able to hear about it most of the time until it's too goddamn late.
Mm-hmm.
Pervo walks into a man's bathroom and starts acting like fucking freaky. I'm going to fucking skull him right in the bathroom.
Yeah, I don't think guys have to worry about it too much. But
exactly, but in the ladies' room, there's not a whole hell of a lot of women that are in there. Hopefully, they're all packing. They'll blow a fucking hole through his forehead. But
there you go.
Yeah, honest to God, it's opening the fucking gates for these dirtbag perverts, just to see how I identify with, go in there and then do horrible things to innocent people. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a bullshit law. And it's also a real good distraction. What does the government want us to be looking at if they're trying to stir up all this bullshit and have everybody look to the left? What's going on to the right?
Oh, mail?
Yep.
Mail? Email? Benghazi?
I guess you have to change the way you label the restrooms. Instead of putting male and female, put in penis and vagina.
Well, you know what? I said the same thing to Debbie. You know what? I was looking at Tywin. It was a Tywin Lannister from Game of Thrones. He always uses this phrase. If you have a cock, you go in that room. If you have a vagina, you go in that room. No exceptions. DNA is a lie.
Exactly. It doesn't matter if you think you're a male or female. This is the equipment you have. That's the room you use.
But, you know, and it's a slippery fucking slope, because what if you got some guy, some pervo who identifies himself as a 12-year-old little girl and wants to join the Girl Scouts? Seriously, it's a slippery
I know.
What do you identify as? Well, I identify myself as what, you know, you're so deep in the rough on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's
golfy.
Yeah, no shit. Well, but I mean, here again, it's just, you know, how could a group so small impact so many with we want it this way? Well, fuck off. You know, that's pretty much the way I look at it.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
And one of the governors had actually said, well, you know what? It was never a problem before. Well, they need to have a special place, too. Well, if you don't feel safe in the bathroom, do like everybody else does who doesn't want to use a public restroom. Hold it and then go when you get home.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Matter
well, you know, the bottom line with all of this stuff is it used to be perfectly clear and settled when, as a nation, we all had the same point of view. We all agreed to the Judeo-Christian tradition, and we all had the same values and the same opinions about things. And as soon as we threw that out, as soon as God went out the window, it all became a free-for-all where anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever the majority or a strong, loud enough minority wants will go, because we don't have an anchor anymore to moor us to a proper course. We are totally rudderless and just whipping around in circles with no clear idea of what our goals or values are.
Yeah, we don't have any anymore. That's the
totally
problem.
Exactly.
I mean, no, everything's. Everybody has the right to do anything, and if you offend somebody, then you got to stop doing it.
The fall of a great
nation. So now you end up doing nothing because somebody's going to get offended with something you say or do.
Yeah,
so
kind of sounds reminiscent of the fall of the Roman Empire.
Yes,
doesn't
it? Does, doesn't it? Yeah. There's a book out about that. The fall of the American nation, and it's exactly what's happening. And unfortunately, it's going to happen before I'm dead. So I actually have to watch it happen.
Yeah. Could be. All right. Any other broken news?
No, I'm all done with my tirade.
For one topic, we sure talked about that for a while.
All right, let's move on to Geek's Corner.
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy? Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy.
All right, Michael, you're up first.
At that time, it started out slow and sped up at the end.
We've been Skyped again.
Oh, okay. Anyhow, so, yeah. Well, David's home from college, and Mark is getting more active after everything that's happened over the winter. It's time to get the rest of the antennas up on that tower, finally.
Woohoo!
So, it's only been years in the making, but another distraction of the week. I'd just like to get my ham radio gear back up and running. It's been like years. So, I mean, I've had my G5, what I call my G5 RV beam. It's been up, but there's no substitute for a beam. So yeah, I get that sucker up and going.
And, you know,
so
actually,
that's it.
Mike Versteg, you know, Castblaster Mike, now VidBlaster Mike, he emailed me and said he's getting his shack back together again. So he was saying, we got to schedule a contact sometime. I said, that would be excellent. And I said, I know Michael would probably be interested in doing that also. So he's still putting his together right now. And he put some pictures up. I said, is it up over the garage? Yeah. And he goes, how did you know? I said, I recognize the room. So, yeah. So that'll be cool. All right, let's see. I guess I'm next, right? Oh, so I was flipping through Twitter the other day, and I noticed that the FailPoint account posted a picture of their new van that makes visits, and it's got all over the advertising all over the thing with high-speed internet and, you know, 50 gigabits down and this and that, you know, and everything. And so I replied back to this Twitter. I said, yeah, I'll never see that van in my neighborhood. And not that day, but the next day, I get a reply back from them, from FailPoint, says, oh, you should call us at such and such and such and such. Ask for Christy. She wants to... We want to see what we can do for you. So, now, I haven't done it yet because it was a busy week, but I do plan on calling their 1-800 number. And
1-800 and ask for Christy.
Yeah. And Christy, what can you do for me?
Be careful how you say that, man.
So, I just thought it was funny, though. So if you... if you do make a comment about FailPoint on the Twitters, they will comment back. They do listen. So, that was it, I think. Let's see. Anything else in Geek Corner that I can... nothing. It's been slow. I mean...
Yeah.
No reports except for... I don't know whether it's still true or not, but Google is now the... biggest corporation or the wealthiest corporation in the world. I don't know whether Apple overtook them again or not.
I think actually Alphabet, right? The Alphabet.
Alphabet,
Google,
yes.
Not Google Prime or whatever.
Yeah, Alphabet, which is, you know, the Google parent company now, I guess. So, anyway. All right. So let's then get into Bottom Gear.
Hello, and welcome to another late night QRM edition of the Grand Tour. I mean, Bottom Gear. And I'm one of your hosts, Joel. here to tell a few stories. Actually, it looks like we all have a little something to share. So for those of you who look forward to this segment, well, we've got plenty in store for you. Barry, why don't you take us into it?
Well, I just wanted to make an announcement. You kind of snuck it in there a little bit, but that's okay. The Jeremy Clarkson's new show with the rest of the guys that's going to be on Amazon Prime is going to be called The Grand Tour. And the premise of it is they've got this giant tent that they're going to go and set up in different towns. And then they'll have the they're going to present the show in the tent with a live audience at each town. So that's it. I didn't see a date when it's going to be coming, but it's called The Grand Tour. So
that's awesome.
We got that going for us.
I love it when he uses that catchphrase.
All right. That's all I have.
Okay, and next we have coming up, Barty.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, my sweet bride and I got to a point where we could no longer physically wrestle the mower deck back onto the JD, and so we decided to just kind of use it as a regular tractor during the summer and take the, you know, the snowblower off the front of it and, you know, do other kind of tractor things with it. And we replaced it for the summer with a riding lawnmower. We chose Troy-Bilt because in the past those were pretty highly rated. Turns out these days they're pieces of shit.
Tell us what you really think, Barty.
2 years. Well, come on. Troy-Bilt equipment used to be solely built by Troy-Bilt. Mm-hmm. Now, at least with their riding mowers, they're built by the same company that that builds everybody else's riding mowers. So all those Home Depot and Lowe's tractors that you buy, whether they be JD or whatever brand, are all built by one company with different bodies, but the same kind of crap in them. And this thing lasted 2 years, and then we developed a leak in the hydrostatic transmission. The fluid leaked out, and now it won't drive anymore. It died at the end of last fall, and we thought about getting it fixed right away and figured, screw it, we can survive till spring. And as soon as the snow went away, we contacted Troy-Bilt, who said, well, we don't service that stuff because we don't build it. And
really? Really? It's got your name on it.
Exactly. And they said, well, here's a listing of people in your area that will service this. You know, because it's not under warranty anymore. You know, it's over a year old. It's 2 years old. So luckily, one of the companies is kind of local to us and just up the road in Adams, New York. I called them and said, well, hey, Troy-Bilt says that you'll fix their crap. And they says, it is crap, and you're right. We will fix it. So they were even nice enough to come and pick up the dead unit and drag it back to their barn. And they are currently working on it and preparing to fix it. So my recommendation is, if you want to get a lawnmower, do not buy Troy-Bilt. Do not buy anything from Home Depot or Lowe's, because that crap will not be supported once the warranty is out. Find yourself a quality tractor from somebody reputable that will maintain it after the warranty runs out.
Yes.
Right. Because I hate having the manufacturer tell me that, oh, we don't support that because we don't build it. Well, fuck you. Why are you selling it then?
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, that's just my little rant.
No, that's good. And I recommend, you know, the same thing. You know, I think a Troy-Bilt would probably be okay if you went to a Troy-Bilt dealer, because you would actually get a real Troy-Bilt mower.
I don't think so. Because I don't think Troy-Bilt builds their stuff anymore.
Oh, okay. Because John Deere, you know, you go to a John Deere dealer or what's the other big tractor one?
Husqvarna?
No, I was thinking of the begins with a K. Huh?
Kubota?
Kubota. Yeah, yeah, those.
Kubota?
Yes, if you go to a dealer that you know, that's what they deal in, you get real mowers. I mean, my zero turn, the Toro, we went to a real Toro dealership, and it was that riding mower was totally different than the exact same model they sold at Home Depot. It was just made of better quality metal, better engine. It had a different engine on it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same thing when I went, and probably with you as well, when I bought my JD. Mm-hmm. I went to a JD dealer, and you know, they were telling me the prices, and I says, why is this so much more than the JDs at Lowe's or Home Depot? And he says, well, we don't build those. And he said, as a John Deere dealer, I'm really embarrassed to say that those things have our name on it. And that was why I bought it from them, because they were honest about it.
Yep.
And they detailed the differences, the fact that those things that don't have a solid frame, where the John Deere built tractors have got a total heavy iron frame under them, and they have heavy iron axles, and they're sturdy. And they said, anything you buy from John Deere will be supported by John Deere.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been my experience. Anytime I've had any issues or questions about this tractor, John Deere has been right there and says, yeah, okay, we'll come out and we'll look at it. You know, and most of the time it's been pretty minor things, because I didn't like the way this was or that was. And they said, okay, we'll come out and look at it. And they took care of it, and it was fine. But the whole thing is that my JD I've had for a while, and the JD dealer will come out anytime and do anything I want with it, you know? And I think that's what I want in a company I buy equipment from, you know? So as far as I'm concerned, Troy Bilt can go pound sand up their ass, because before I buy anything from them again.
Yeah.
Well, that's food for thought. My story is one of happiness and joy.
Yeah, really. A much happier story.
Daisy. What the
heck? Oh, what happened to Daisy?
That's the new thing. I remember, I don't have that one yet. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, Daisy has brakes. Dr. Kitty's got her all fixed up.
All right.
So we're going to pick up Daisy tomorrow at the shop, and then which is a beautiful thing, because the timing couldn't be better, because I want my car back. And next, we have Michael.
Yeah, forgive me if I brought this up, because I may have at this point, but Fred's back. Woo!
Woo! Thank God.
Who's Fred?
Fred's Michael, take it away.
Well, I was waiting to see if you knew who Fred was.
I'm glad Fred's back, because Fred's got mad knowledge.
Fred does have mad knowledge, especially about diesels and hydrostatics.
Oh, Fred. Okay. Now, yes. Okay. Yes.
Did I bring that up already?
Fred the diesel guy.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, the broken hydrostatic transmission and the input shaft for the clutch are now over in his shop. And he's confident he can come up with a solution to repair that for me.
Nice.
Definitely worth the gamble.
Well, next time we come up, your big diesel 4x4 tractor may be fully operational.
I sure hope so. But there's going to have to be like that line on the tarmac or on the runway. If we can't get takeoff by a certain point this summer, I need to get another tractor, because I can't shovel the road to Saskatchewan another winter.
Yeah, but look at the times you're getting when you started running today. And
Yeah, actually, that might be the reason why I ran so well after shoveling that damn driveway all winter.
It's only 2 miles. Come on.
Jeez.
Well, that one time, it did take me till 2 a.m. to finish shoveling it.
Wow.
And even with that, you know, Chris couldn't drive the truck back for almost 2 months. You know, even towards the end, even then, I was bringing groceries back by toboggan.
I was going to say, have you considered getting a snowmobile just between the studio and the home?
Actually, I used to have two.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of maintenance to keep them going, and insurance and everything else. And I just got to the point where, while they still had value, I sold them, because generally when I get on a snowmobile, it's either for work or it's for work. You know, it's not fun for me.
I was gonna say, it takes a lot of the fun out of it.
All right.
All right. So now, I guess it's me, which is, and Michael will appreciate that, this, and then the couple of seven listeners that we've had who enjoy Bottom Gear. But Rambo.
What are you? The worst nightmare.
Has the start of the death wobble. And I was shocked, too, because I thought that was isolated only to four-wheel drive Dodge trucks and Jeeps. So upon a little further research, I come to find out, as I'm driving Rambo home one day, I'm like, wow, the steering feels a little freaking vibrate-y driving home. And it's not the road. I hadn't even gotten to the good roads yet. I was on smooth roads. And what the hell is this all about? And it's, as it happens, with 97,000 miles on them, time for upper ball joints. That is another reason why I'm so happy that Daisy's coming home, because Rambo's going in the shop.
Wow.
To get the upper ball, lower ball joints. Basically, I want to get the sway bar bushings. Oh, I'm just going to change it all. I figure it's got 97,000 miles on it. It's probably due. And so that's that one, because, I mean, I love driving Rambo. Rambo's pretty awesome. If he was four-wheel drive, he'd be the perfect truck. But and then the last thing that I got is about Goldfinger.
Goldfinger!
Goldfinger! he's got his track shoes back on. His summertime track shoes. Finally. Yes, was it two weekends ago? Yes. Yeah. Well, what a rigmarole that turned into. So the place that I had the tires, and Debbie had Goldfinger because Daisy was in the shop. And I said, hey, we got to get those studded sneakers off of Goldfinger and get the all-season radials on. So I put the tires, set them aside for the car. She said, oh, I'll take the car to the, what shop do you want me to take it to? And it was this place, she was heading down south. So I said, well, what, there's this place in Hudson. Why don't we go there? She took the car there. And boy, did these guys give her the proverbial runaround.
Really?
Yeah, well, I even pre-called. I said, hey, my wife's going to be coming down, bringing my car. I brought my car there once before. I said, I want to get the studded tires taken off, the rims, the radials mounted on the rims, balanced, and put them back on the car. Well, she got there, and they're like, no, we can't put these tires on. No, they're too old.
What?
And, yeah. And she's like, what? She said, my husband called. And he said, no, these tires are way, way too old. We can't put these tires on this car. Nope, no, they're bad. They'll blow out on you. They're bad. And she's like, hold on a second. So she goes back out to the car. She calls me up. She says, this is what they're telling me. I'm like, you know what? Just leave. Don't even bother talking to these guys. I'm not buying tires from them. I even called them. They could have said something. Nope, just leave. So I do some research. And I ended up taking Goldfinger up to Town Fair Tire in Keene, New Hampshire. And brought the tires with me. And I said, hey, I need these radials put on and the studded tires taken off. They took a look at him. And he said, yep. And I went, just like that. Yep. Boom, boom, boom. Swaps them all over, bounces them, puts them on the car. And I said, so let me ask you a question. What is there a cutoff point, or is there some industry standard that I may not be, you know, obviously aware of? He said, we won't typically put tires on, we won't put tires on rims that are over 10 years old. I said, those aren't 10 years old. They're only 6 or 7 years old. But because I always use studded snow tires, tires last a lot longer.
Yeah.
He said, no, those are fine. He goes, they got...
Because
he says after 10 years, yeah, I'm still here, that the oils and the rubber start to basically dissipate. go away. So the tire loses its elasticity. Mm-hmm. So it tends to, for dry rot and maybe sidewall blowouts. I said, all right, 10 years. She goes, yep. Well, these are six. And those other idiots were just trying to sell her a set of tires.
Yep.
Assholes.
Yeah. So I said, all right, guys, well, how much is this one going to cost me? And I've paid as much as $90 to have them flopped over. I did not do it at Dr. Kenny's because I was busy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I just don't have the time on Saturday to go up there. Or if it's been a shit week at work, I don't feel like tearing the car apart on a Saturday. It's,
right.
it's the one day I just want to decompress.
Right.
So $40.
Yep.
$40.
I got to tell you, I took my car there to get my tires swapped out. And the reason was I usually go to the one in Amherst because, you know, it's right around the corner. And this year they said, oh, well, we're not making appointments now for snow tire, swap out. And I said, you know, it's, or you can come and leave it for the day. I said, well, I'm at work. I can't leave it for the day. We could give you a kind of a time where you could come in. And I said, let me just look around. So, you know, I called up the Town Fair Tires in Keene, and I said, can I make an appointment? And they said, sure. When do you want to come in? It was coming up on an off Friday. I said, what do you got on Friday? It's an off Friday for me. He goes, how about 1 o'clock? I said, I'll be there with no problems. Had lunch at Five Guys.
Yep.
Almost went in to get an ice cream at Rick's.
Yep. Nice guys, professional, right up front.
Mm-hmm.
I waited. I was in and out in less than an hour.
Yeah, it was they treated me very nice. They were very courteous there. I said, guess what? I guess where I'm buying my next set of tires from.
You know what? I said the same thing to Debbie. I texted her. I said, yeah, I'm heading home. It was about an hour.
Yeah,
and they said, yep, $39. And I went, what? They said, yeah. $39. And I went, I happily will be back. And because I have to buy sneakers for Daisy, I said, I know where I'm going to buy them from.
Yeah.
Town Fair Tire and Keene. So that's everything I got for bottom gear.
All right. I guess that'll about do it. So let's move on to entertainment last month. Welcome to Entertainment Last Month, where we talk about shows and movies that are new to us, but they're probably old to you. So I'll start off with, I finally started watching this season's House of Cards. I gotta say that it's very good this year. It's better than last year. Last year I was kind of disappointed. This year, much better. Much more. Last night I marathoned three of them. Well, okay. The last one I had to watch three times.
He slept through a part of it.
That's a hell of a ringing endorsement. It was so exciting. I fell asleep.
No, it was me. I was tired. I really wanted to see it. I kept going, damn, because you really have to watch that because, you know, every show builds on the last show, you know? It's like, so, So, matter of fact, the musical guest is one of the things, I think I've said this before on the show, and I decided that the musical guest is going to be Jeff Beal for this show, and of course, he wrote the theme from House of Cards, and the reason I do that is because it's a very short theme, so the music's going to be short this week, but being that I lived down in that area for 14 years, 14 long years of my life, down in the Washington, D.C. metro area.
Crowded anthill.
Yes. I hear this song every week. And if you watch House of Cards, you know what I'm maybe talking about. The music is very good. To me, it just captures the characteristics of Washington, D.C. And if you ever get a chance to watch the show and you watch the video that goes along with this, I mean, I look at that every time. I said, ah, you have captured Washington, D.C. You really have. This, you know, it's just perfect in my mind. So I thought we'd share that at the end. But I just wanted to say, I am watching that, and, you know, it's great to watch that show during a presidential election year because you get to see how big assholes politicians really are. And another show in the political realm, I've got to say, is I've picked back up on Veep. Now, they're on their fifth season. I'm on season three, but Veep is on HBO, and it's Julie Louis-Dreyfus. And she's the vice president, and it's a half-hour comedy, kind of like Curb Your Enthusiasm-style comedy. But again, they nail politicians. It's funny, but they nail it. I mean, they've got it down. So I recommend those two shows, and you will despise all politicians when you watch both those shows. So. And one more thing, I put all mine in the front, but I just got to say, before I came up here off the magic antenna, I got to see Batman versus Superman, the beginning of the Justice League or something, the start of the Justice League.
Yeah.
That movie sucks. To the nth degree. And I watched it all the way through. The fight part in the end was kind of cool, but... Man, I don't know whether you have to have read all the comic books up to then or what, but it started off and it's like, I have no idea what's going on here, what they're doing, and I don't know why Batman hates Superman and Superman's not too keen on Batman. I have no idea, but they're fighting. And they didn't explain it at all to me anyway. Maybe I missed it or something. But it's like, why are you guys fighting? You know?
Yep.
And of course, again, in this movie, they showed how diabolical and screwed up politicians are again. So it's yet another one on the politician theme here. The fight scene was... kind of okay, the big one that, you know, all these have, but man, that movie sucked.
Well, one question I have is if Batman, who's made of flesh, if he doesn't have kryptonite in his back pocket, how does he beat a guy that's made of steel?
Heh, you said it. Spoiler alert, he had kryptonite.
Oh.
And
yeah,
he made himself.
I don't.
He made himself the super, you know, super suit.
Right?
Yeah, that had, you know, gave him extra powers and things like that. And there's a lot of else to the story. I think I don't know how the other things came in, but they do have one hot looking Wonder Woman. She somehow got in this movie too. I don't know how. All of a sudden she's there. I don't know the storyline, why she was there, what brought her here. I don't know. It doesn't explain that.
She's there to sell tickets to hot teenage boys.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't explain
that. All those horny teenage boys are going to buy tickets because they're going to hear that there's a hot chick in the movie.
Yep. Zero value add.
Well, the Justice League is coming up next, I guess. That's going to be a movie, and they're going to go find all the other DC characters, I guess. And
we're going to sit around and discuss. How bad can they fuck that up?
Oh, I'm telling you, they are no Marvel.
Well, you know, when I first heard the idea of Batman and Superman fighting, I was like, well, wait a minute. I thought these guys were friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, they are now.
I get angry at some of my friends, but I never want to fight them.
Wait a minute. Another spoiler alert. I don't give a shit. This movie sucks so bad. At the end, Superman dies.
Good.
They bury Superman.
And then he comes back to life.
I don't know. It didn't have anything. Who knows? In the last scene, you see Superman's coffin in the ground with dirt on it.
Shove a spike of kryptonite down his chest?
Yes, they did.
Oh, wow.
Well, I was see, Lex Luthor created this monster from the old general's, what's his name? General Zar, Zing, Zoom, Zah. I don't follow that comic strip.
That's close enough.
Yeah. Well, he died, but then he got into one of the ships, and I guess he added his blood to the body of this thing, and then the super brain thing inside the spaceship morphed him into this monster. And, of course, Superman killed the monster off by shoving this spike of kryptonite into him. But well, he was what, dead, right too.
You've succeeded in making me believe that this movie fucking sucks.
Oh, it totally, totally sucks. I mean, nice. Jesus, don't bother. I mean, I saw this, I said, oh, good, Superman's dead. That means they won't make another movie.
That's horrible. You know it's a bad movie when you're thinking that.
Yeah, if only Batman could have been killed off, too. Yeah, but I'd watch a Wonder Woman movie.
But there you have it.
Yeah.
She doesn't even have to do anything amazing. You just stand there and look good, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
This movie.
Wonder Woman baking chicken.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, man.
I'm stirring soup.
I don't know who plays Wonder Woman, but, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyone who wants to.
Yeah. The only problem is Wonder Woman's old, though. She's been around for a long time. They kind of hinted that she was old because they showed a picture of her with, like, some pioneer settlers or something. And
holy crap!
And then she made a reference to, well, I gave up on humanity about 100 years ago. So,
flew off in her invisible plane.
They didn't show the invisible plane. She was flying in
invisible.
She was flying as a regular passenger in a, conventional airplane. In the airplane shot that she was in, which I don't even know what that had anything to do with or where she was going or why. But they showed her in an airplane. With other passengers.
Or Eastern Airlines or some kind of other, maybe.
Who knows? I don't even know why she's there.
She was on Southwest. They lost her luggage. Yeah. So, So she takes care of herself and she's aged well for 250-year-old chick.
Yeah, awesome, or whatever. Yeah. And you wouldn't want to fuck with her, that's for sure, because she's got some awesome powers. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how you want to use that word.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, I'm always nervous. Yeah, okay. They were showing Clark Kent and Lois Lane. Clark Kent kind of jumped on top of Lois Lane, and I'm like, my heart skipped a beat because I go, you could kill her.
He might weigh like 6 metric tons.
Yeah. I mean,
he's the Man of Steel, after all. So 6'5", that stature. If he's is the Man of Steel, then he probably weighs about 2.5 tons.
Exactly.
Still Lois.
And here's another thing I have a question about. The kryptonite, Krypton, right? Why do Kryptonians have to use spaceships when they can fly around in space without any problem?
Well, they can't fly everywhere. In Krypton, they couldn't fly. But when they came to another planet like Earth, they were able to fly around in Earth's atmosphere because it was so different than their home planet.
Oh, they're up in space, too. He's flying up in space. What the hell do you need a spaceship for, then?
Krypton, they were all, planet-bound.
Yeah, okay.
Because there was too much kryptonite around, so they couldn't really...
So they could take a shuttle out to deep space, and then, they don't need the shuttle anymore.
And then jump off, right, take a left. fly off to Alpha Centauri and take a right,
Exactly. And I don't know how many times I'm going to see Batman's story about his parents dying in the alley and the pearls falling off his mom.
He lost their pearls.
Ooh. Yeah. Because every movie they go over that, every Batman movie, we we have to go over how his parents died, including the Gotham TV show, which I still like. But
I'm not that much into Batman. I was when I was a kid. I was I wasn't too much into the TV show, but I loved the comics.
I was going to say, yeah, the Adam West Batman. That's what I watched.
That was like a kind of like a live cartoon.
Both a Tuesday on Wednesday. So, okay, that was it. That's all I had. Batman versus Superman sucks. Don't even bother to illegally download it. Oh, did I say that out loud?
No, you did not.
Okay. No, I didn't hear anything. Don't save us.
What doesn't suck, it's now back on TV. We talked about it real briefly, and I'm just going to throw it out there again. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, Game of Thrones got good, and it's back.
Yes.
And spoiler alert, after last Sunday's episode, Jon Snow isn't dead anymore.
No. You know, my only problem, I love the show, okay? I never read the books. I love the show. I've been watching it from the very beginning forward here. Mm-hmm. There are so many story arcs. When they show a story arc and we're into it, okay, I'm good. I forget how they're all related or sub-related or this and that. It's just like I watch that show for an hour, and to me, it's got like 15, 10-minute shows in it.
Right.
Separate shows, because I can't keep the storyline straight in my head.
Gotcha. Well, start writing them down in your iPad.
Too much trouble. I just like watching it and seeing the naked girls.
Oh, well, there is that too.
And the blood and gore.
The blood and gore is awesome.
Yeah.
Naked girls.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, as a matter of fact, I even said to Debbie at one point, I'm like, all right, I usually like to hit the rack at 9 o'clock. I get up at 4 to go to work every morning. But on Sunday nights, I will suffer on a Monday. It will be a Monster Energy Drink Monday. Mm-hmm. Because I will stay up till 10 o'clock to watch Game of Thrones on Sunday nights. It's that good.
And I gotta say, since we switched over to HBO
now.
What I love about HBO Now is even though they don't have a live stream, of course, you know, it's basically like going to Netflix or something and you pick them. But when Game of Thrones is being streamed on their normal channel, HBO channel, it is available to watch on HBO Now. And it starts at the beginning. Yeah. So, yes. I'm digging HBO Now. I just absolutely love it. So.
Definitely. I'm real happy with it. Now they just need another good show, like The Sopranos without a shitty ending, and I really.
I watch Silicon Valley right after that, and then I usually watch a couple Veeps while I'm there. Right. But I'm gonna have to check out some of the other shows that they have there too. I haven't had a chance to look at it, so.
Ow. So Michael.
Yeah.
It's your turn. Here.
Okay, well, I really should check out HBO Now sometime. I have yet to see show one of Game of Thrones. We don't have HBO.
Yeah,
I know
that
situation has changed a bit, and definitely the curiosity is up. I'd like to catch it sometime.
Yeah,
but that's not what I'm here to talk about. This show's pick, I was about to say this week, but it's every other week for us. It's a series called American Genius on Netflix. And all of them I enjoyed. A couple of them were above grade, how much higher above grade than the others. And I will say their opening show of Jobs versus Gates just nails it. Now, they come right out and say that, there's dramatic reasons involved. There has been in just about every one of these so-called documentaries about the two of them. Mm-hmm. And from my experience growing up through the rise of Apple and Microsoft and for those who are really geeky in computers, Ohio Scientific, which never gets mentioned anymore.
I have one of those.
I was a certified Ohio scientific technician for years. But
you want mine?
No. Which model is it, though? Is it? Is it, you know what it
it's
is?
It's the Model 4 something.
Oh, so it's a C4P, like their personal computer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty advanced personal computer in its day. Yeah. But anyhow, so yeah, American Genius, some really good shows. There's also a really good one on Colt versus Smith & Wesson as they developed the revolvers. It's the wide range of stuff that they did, and pretty impressed with the series. So if you're a Netflix subscriber and you like, you know, especially dramatic documentaries, I recommend it.
Okay, very good.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, so that'll be it. We're starting to hit the 2 hour mark here, so let's. I think that's going to do it for show 213. Again, the musical guest is Jeff Beal with the theme from House of Cards, the American version of House of Cards, because, as you know, it originally back in the 90s was a series on the BBC. We want to say thank you to all the military members out there, both CONUS and OCONUS. Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for protecting us. And you go CONUS guys, please be careful while you're out there. And we hope you get home to your families and friends real soon. Till then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So, with that, from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I'm Barry J.
And also from the southwest, from New Hampshire, this is Joel.
From central New York, this is Barty.
And from Studio V, and yes, it's still snowing out, this is Michael, the virtual Uber.
All right, that's it for show 213. 214 coming up soon. And yeah, by the way, 212 will get out there. it's summer. Now I know where the delays come in. All right,
I was waiting for that palindromic wonder to show up.
It was a rough week at work too. as I was saying at work every day when I go into Evil Corp, I say, you know, every day I come in here, I love this place just a little bit more.
Sure you do.
Yeah. So okay, everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Until then, here's Jeff Beal. Samson, speak! Good boy.